I'm Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your San Antonio Spurs have been enjoying a nice three-day break, and they won't get back on the court until this Sunday when they host the Milwaukee Bucks. It'll be the last meeting between the Spurs and Bucks, and we'll be previewing that game shortly. But to start the show, we're going to be talking about a debate that's been raging on for a little while now. Tim Duncan versus LeBron James. Who was greater? Is there even a decision? Is there even a debate? Do we even have to talk about this? But we're going to start off the show with that. And to do that and more, I'm going to be joined by Jim Lefko, my colleague at News 4 San Antonio. Jim, welcome back to Lockdown Spurs. And by the way, I don't know if you saw, I know you've been a busy man, but DeJounte Murray announced that he had his first dunk in 5 months since his injury / surgery. So, hey, progress.
Wow, I've been waiting five decades for my first dunk, so he's way ahead of me.
and by the way, seriously, I do believe you can take David Robinson on one-on-one in the ring. Mike, did you see that video on the Spurs Zone?
Yeah, he's a pretty talented customer for a man in, what is he, 50 years old, 50
yeah.
years old? He's in remarkably good shape, and I wouldn't want any part of him.
Yeah.
<No way. laughs>
To see what Jim and I are talking about, go to the Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio, Fox 29 San Antonio. Needless to say, and Jim is aware of this, you don't want to mess around with the Admiral. You probably won't. That's probably a bad idea. Outside the fact that he's 7'1".
I think you could have said that in his playing career, too. I don't think there's ever been a time where you wanted to mess with him. Truly a gentle giant, but he still looks like he's in fighting shape.
Yeah. So, again, Spurs Zone, News 4 San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. So, Jim, there's been kind of a debate that's been swirling about the last week and a half, started by one Scottie Pippen. He was on the ESPN show First Take. They were having a debate about creating an all-star all-time starting five. Kind of evolved into just simply an all-time starting five. And Scottie said he would have to remove LeBron James and put in Tim Duncan. Obviously, that stirred debate. You were right on top of it. And you wrote an article about it. Take it away, Jim.
No, I thought it was good column fodder. You know, I try to write things a little beyond just who won last night's game. And that one really struck me because it's something I never thought about. You know, I think both those two are certainly in the discussion, top five players of all time. And when Pippen put Duncan ahead of LeBron, I thought, well, there's an interesting debate.
Mm-hmm.
And a good debater could probably argue either side of that issue. But, you know, I think whatever way you end up leaning, whether you pick Duncan, you know, whether you go with LeBron, there's no losers here. These are
no.
two of the greatest players, consensus top 10 players. It diminishes neither to not be on the top five all time because they're both phenomenal players. And I think, you know, fans get their dander up a little bit, but it's kind of a fun thing for us to talk about. But my gosh, these two are, you know, first ballot Hall of Famers, you know, again, two of the best to ever play this game. So you're really splitting hairs when you try to pick between them. They played different eras for the most part. You know, they did interact a few times as they got on the court, but, you know, LeBron's still going strong, and his final, you know, stats have not been written yet. He could have, you know, another 3, 4, 5 years left. So we know the body of work that that Timmy turned in for the Spurs, and we know a good portion of what LeBron did. But this is what sports is all about, you know, having fun debates like this. And because they did overlap, you know, for a few years, at least they got to play against each other, but play different positions, you know, wouldn't have guarded each other unless it was a switch. So there's no winners or losers here. You know, I tried to weigh in by, you know, throwing a few numbers out there, but it's a fun debate. And I think anybody that's watched Tim Duncan, you know, through the course of his career is going to have a strong opinion about him.
And speaking of numbers, what did the numbers reveal? Did one player have an edge over another, or, you know, how did it break down?
Well, even there, you know, it depends on what numbers you go for. And to me, when you're trying to separate these two, and again, admittedly phenomenal players, the first thing I looked at, NBA championships. At the end of the day, I think that's, you know, how history, you know, writes the final chapter. And Timmy wins that argument 5-3. Now, LeBron may not be done, and I think Duncan is. But, you know, just when you want to give him the nod from that perspective, then you look at how many times they got to the finals. LeBron got there 9 times. Duncan got there 6 times. And more impressively, James got there 8 years in a row, which, you know, a streak that's most likely going to end this year when the Lakers probably don't even make the playoffs, much less the finals. So that's a pretty impressive stat. just when you want to maybe swing it to James, then you come back and look at the, what Timmy did on the court, you know, the rebounding. You know, he had a huge edge over LeBron from that perspective. All defense, another huge advantage for Duncan, 15-6 over James. So lots of points, you know, in Timmy's favor. We're then swinging it back the other way, you know, MVP awards. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an award that typically recognizes the best player in the league. Some of it's political and some of it's, you know, what have you done lately?
Right.
But, you know, LeBron won that one four times. Timmy won it twice. So you can make arguments either way. Scoring, you know, that's a pretty important statistic.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's got him by about 8 points a game. So, you know, you go back and forth with the numbers, and all I could really conclude is whichever way you wanted to go, you could find the numbers to support either argument.
What about his final season? I'm sorry, this current season. I'm thinking about Tim Duncan right now. That's how much I miss him, Jim. As far as LeBron James is concerned, this season has not been great for him. We all know what happened. The very viral video that went out, well, a couple, you know, of his teammate Kuzma shoving him just to play defense. And then in the same game, he grabs the ball and lazily throws it out and hits the back of the backboard there for a turnover. It's not the best LeBron James season. Do you think that tarnishes it a little bit, considering the fact that Duncan went out to the bitter end, still playing at a high level?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say because I don't think this is the final chapter in the LeBron James story. I think he went to an average to mediocre team with a lot of young talent. I think people that thought that just LeBron's presence was going to elevate them to the fourth or fifth spot in the West were dreaming, because, you know, the West is a little tougher conference than the East, and LeBron would not have gone to 8 finals in a row if he'd been in the West, in my opinion. So, you know, to then just say, well, he's having a tough year and the Lakers aren't going to make the playoffs and they haven't responded to his leadership. What if they add 2 or 3 really, you know, high profile free agents next year and LeBron does make it to the finals out of the West?
Mm-hmm.
So this, to me, has the feel of a footnote to an incredible career, that this will be the 1 year when he transitioned from a bad Cleveland situation to a bad Lakers situation. And I'd be shocked if one or more high-profile free agents don't wind up playing with LeBron next year in L.A. So to answer your question, I don't think this is the final chapter of the LeBron James career. I think he's got a lot more left in the tank.
Yeah, you know, when I look at Pippen and him removing LeBron James' name from that chart board they had and putting Duncan out there, it's funny because even before he even announced who he was going to replace LeBron James with, the crowd itself was already chanting Tim Duncan. I don't know if you caught that.
No, that's great. And that's what's so beautiful about sports. You know, you go back to when Michael Jordan was in his heyday, and people of that generation said, this is the greatest basketball player of all time. And I certainly would have been one of those that would have subscribed to that. But, you know, now here comes LeBron. And, you know, people that, you know, follow basketball could make the argument that LeBron is the greatest player of this generation. And then you compare LeBron to Michael. Well, who's missing from that equation?
Yeah.
The guy that bridged both of those two careers, and that's Tim Duncan. So, you know, it's nice and tidy. And I think in the national argument, that's how it would go. It would go from Michael to LeBron. And Timmy, like so often happens to San Antonio, gets left out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think here in San Antonio, that's where you're going to find the folks that, you know, were mesmerized by what Duncan did on the court for almost 2 decades. So I think this argument resonates a lot more locally than it would nationally. I would venture to say that most people nationally would say LeBron James deserves a spot on the first team over Tim Duncan. But I think almost everybody that's a Spurs fan would argue the other side of that equation.
You know, I want to circle back to the title segment, you know, between TD and LeBron. You know, TD only lost once in the NBA Finals. We know how many losses that LeBron James had in his finals appearances. You know, to right. me, I think that kind of pushes Timmy over LeBron.
Well, and the irony is, who are those losses to? You know,
yeah.
Duncan's one loss was to LeBron, and LeBron lost twice to the Spurs. So, yeah, Timmy's 2-1 against LeBron, and I threw a number in there, too. I think if you went by games in the NBA Finals, I found the number right in front of me now. I think it was like 11-4, 11-5, something like that, Spurs over LeBron's teams, because there was both Cleveland and Miami. So, yeah, that's just more fuel for the fodder, that head-to-head. But again, you might make the case that Duncan had more superstars around him throughout mm-hmm. the course of his career. I mean, look at that first Cleveland team that LeBron took to the finals.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, that was LeBron and a bunch of backups, basically. He had a little more talent with him in Miami. Of course, he built that team himself. But, you know, that's the one thing about Timmy. He always had either a David Robinson, a Manu Ginobili, a Tony Parker, a Kawhi Leonard. There were always great players around him when he was in the finals, and that's a testament to the franchise. So I don't think you can dock or, you know, negate what Duncan accomplished just because he had great players around him. But I do think you have to respect the fact that certainly that first Cleveland team that LeBron led the finals, you know, some would say is the worst team to ever make an NBA finals. And mm-hmm. the Spurs swept them that year. So, you know, again, the numbers are fascinating because you can use them to support whatever side of this debate you want to go on.
Yeah, it's such an interesting debate, and you know, fans on social media really had a reaction to this. I mean, obviously, you know, you and I are in the San Antonio area. You know, we cover the Spurs, so we're gonna get a lot more Spurs fans saying, "Oh, what are you crazy, Jim? It's Tim Duncan." I mean, I think that was kind of the overwhelming response you got when your article went live.
Right, but you know, think back historically, and again, for those old enough to remember Wilt Chamberlain. You know, that Wilt Chamberlain versus Bill Russell debate. You know, all Russell did was win championships, and all Chamberlain did was post the greatest statistics known to man. So, you know, how do you settle that one? And again, it's kind of apples and oranges when you talk about the, you know, what we're talking about now with LeBron and Timmy. But, you know, that debate waged through the 60s and, you know, and on to the 70s, and then boom, here comes, you know, Larry Bird and, you know, Magic Johnson. And then, you know, the same kind of comparison with those two guys. Great players. And that's why I go back to, it's so hard to pick the five best of all time. You know, mm-hmm. you could pick the five best at every position and get all kinds of debates. But that's what's fun about sports. There's no right or wrong, you know, answer to this. And again, at the start of this conversation, you're splitting hairs here because these are two of the greatest, most, you know, entertaining players to ever, you know, step on an NBA basketball court. So to me, no losers. And, you know, you'd like to say that it's a tie. And, you know, if you forced to pick, you know, certainly with LeBron still going, I guess the one thing I'd want to do is hold out until he's done. And then you could compare the entire body of work of LeBron versus, you know, Timmy's career that's already over. So that would at least, you know, give you a little bit more ammunition for whichever way you were going.
One more point about this topic, and then we'll take our first break. But during that segment of First Take, you know, after Pippen made his announcement saying, okay, I'm taking LeBron out and I'm going to put TD in, he was asked why. And he gave his reasons, pretty much the same reasons that you gave, you know, it's Tim Duncan, you know, a rock steady, you know, he's everything. And then his co-host, which was Stephen A. Smith, says, well, you know, we're using this NBA era's rules. I think Tim Duncan could have survived in his prime this era of the NBA. And obviously he survived more than handsomely in the era he played. Could he have played the same level as he did during his time now?
I think so. Yeah. Great players probably are, you know, they can span the generations. I mean, again, to use my Wilt Chamberlain example, this isn't the kind of style that the NBA plays now, but tell me if Wilt was coming out and he was 20 years old right now,
yeah.
I think they'd find a place for him. I think he'd still be pretty effective. I think you'd change your game to suit the skill set of the players you have. And the Spurs ran an offense that featured Tim at his best. And if he was here now, I think you'd see a lot of the same things. And, you know, he popularized shooting off the backboard. Well, how many players do that? Well, it's kind of funny. DeMar DeRozan uses the backboard.
Mm-hmm.
There's the influence, perhaps, of someone like Tim Duncan, who, you know, made a career out of that. So, yeah, I think his skills would translate. Would he have trouble, you know, on the pick and roll, you know, 30 feet from the basket? If he was 39 years old, yeah, he probably would. But if mm-hmm. he was 22 years old, I don't think he would as much. So, you know, a phenomenal defensive player, you know, with all those all defensive, you know, honors that he received, what did I just say earlier, 16 of them,
mm-hmm.
15 All-NBA defense. Defense to me is one of those things that that's heart. That's dedication, that's hustle. And again, that translates generations. So put him in 1950 or 2000 or 2019, I think the defense that Timmy played, you know, would be a hallmark of whatever team he was on. Then you add in the leadership and the offensive skills, and you got the complete player. So
yeah.
To me, it doesn't matter what year you're going to want that guy. He's the first guy you're going to pick to start your team.
Yeah, the debate rages on. TD, LeBron James, it looks like there's probably not a wrong answer. And I think anybody who picks either side will have, as you mentioned, Jim, more than enough facts and stats to back it up. All right, so Jim and I, we're going to take our first break. We get back, we're going to look ahead at Sunday's big matchup at the AT&T Center, Spurs versus Bucks. We are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko, News Force San Antonio. Jim, you know, one guy who could definitely survive in this era of the NBA with his skill set and his prime was David Robinson. Can you imagine him?
Yeah.
And his speed and his length and his quickness. Oh, my goodness. In today's NBA rules, my God, Jim, I don't even know where to begin.
He'd be a fun one. And as you were going there, I thought you were going to go to Giannis and say, how would Giannis have looked back in the 1990s?
Yeah.
Because that's another one. You know, we're taking all these old guys and putting them in the current game. How about taking the current guys and putting them back in the olden days?
Yeah.
And I think what they would have done stat-wise, because that's what's fun. You know, it's fun about sports. You can, you know, project and assume. But no, you're right. David Robinson, any era, he's going to be a superstar.
Yeah. And if you want to check out that video of Robinson still packing a punch, go to the Spurs Zone, News Force San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com, as well as to read Jim's article about our first segment, TD versus LeBron. Okay, so Jim, the Spurs have themselves a big matchup this Sunday. They'll be hosting the Milwaukee Bucks team at the recording of this episode of Locked On Spurs with the best record in the NBA. They're obviously tops in the East. We know about a certain guy that you mentioned, Giannis, the Greek freak. You know, he's definitely going to be a handful. But the Spurs are riding on a nice little wave right now, four games straight. All W's are playing at home. That should help. But, you know, Milwaukee's a different, whole different level of beast of a team, Jim.
Right. Well, I don't think you have to worry about them being in first place when Sunday rolls around, because they've got a three-game lead on Toronto for the East supremacy, and they're four games ahead in the loss column of Golden State if you're looking at best record. So I don't want to say quietly, because people that follow the NBA know how good a season Milwaukee's having. But, boy, they sure don't get as much attention as you would think a team that's 49-16 would get. I mean, they're leaving a really good Toronto team in the dust. And, you know, that number one seed, you got to like their chances of getting all the way to the finals. Because at this point, they're going to have that. If the seeds hold, they'll get the Raptors in Milwaukee with that all-important Game 7, you know, on Milwaukee's home court. I love their style. You know, who doesn't love the Greek freak?
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs played them pretty well up there. It's been a few months now in November. 135-129 in Milwaukee victory. But it was a good game.
Mm-hmm.
DeRozan had 34 and 7 assists that game. Spurs are playing well, put a few W's together, one on the road. So it's a perfect setup for a really great game. And I think with the home cooking with the Spurs, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I really like their chances. I like the way they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Derek White, you know, being on a real uptick right now. You know, the team relatively healthy, you know, for a change, knock on wood. You know, get your man Pirtle back in there,
mm-hmm.
in the starting lineup, and they're going to be unstoppable.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Spurs are 0-1 against the Bucks this season. They lost big. Well, I mean, that was close. I mean, 135-129. You know, the Spurs definitely cannot allow the Bucks 139 points. I mean, I think that's just a recipe for disaster. But San Antonio has lost two straight to Milwaukee, and that includes, Jim, four straight overall. The Bucks just seemingly have, at least in recent years, have the Spurs number.
Well, again, you hit the key number there. You know, if they give up 130 points, the Spurs are going to lose.
Yeah.
But look at the games in this winning streak. 93, 102, 103, 104. And we've said before, I think 105 is the new 100.
Yeah.
You used to want to try to hold teams under 100. I don't know how realistic that is. But under 105, if that's the new threshold, well, it's not a coincidence. The Spurs are 4-0 in the last four games when holding teams under 105 points. That's going to be a tall order against Giannis and the Bucks. But, you know, just like you can get in streaks on offense, I think you can get in streaks on defense. And that's where Derek White, who I've come around on, you know,
mm-hmm.
we had the discussion earlier in the year about who's the second most valuable player on the Spurs, you know, assuming that everybody would agree Aldridge is number one. And I was holding out for DeRozan up until maybe a week or two ago. But I've jumped ship, and I got DeRozan number three now and Derek White number two. Rudy Gay factors in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, White, what he's doing defensively right now, and then all the block shots, you know, that are a function of his defense, what he did to the rookie in Atlanta the other night. I mean, he's doing it all. I mean, he's scoring in clutch time, you know. I really like his game. So, you know, it's all about matchups and consistency, but the Spurs are in a good spot right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I like their chances, and I'm glad this game is here. I can't wait for it to roll around. It'll be
a
fun watch.
It's going to be a fun game, and hopefully the Spurs get the W. But as far as the Bucks, you know, obviously it begins and ends with Giannis. He's the MVP candidate, you know, more than likely could have his name be announced as the NBA's MVP. But it's not just him. Guys like Chris Middleton, you know, Eric Bledsoe, you know, these guys have really been stepping up for the Bucks.
Yeah, and here's the stat, you know, not to kill, you know, listeners with numbers. These guys are 23-11 on the road.
Mm.
Comprehend that a little bit. You know, here everybody locally, you know, knows how well the Spurs play at home. You know, you take a look at that Spurs road record. You know, they're 12-22 right now.
Yeah.
So they're 10 games under 500. Milwaukee is 12 games over 500 on the road. And sure, you know, it's a lot of Eastern games that they play on the road, but they're doing it everywhere. And, you know, that's the mark of a great team. You know, if you have even just a winning record on the road, that's usually going to put you in contention.
Mm-hmm.
If you finish the season 10, 12 games over 500, well, again, Spurs fans know what that's all about. That's how you get to 60 wins. So, you know, I'm very impressed with the way that the Bucks are playing on the road. And again, not to discount how they're doing at home, because they have the best home record in the NBA.
Right.
And that's probably why they've got the best overall record. You know, when you got the best road record, you got the best home record. Probably a pretty good chance that you're going to have the best overall record. So, yeah, they're doing it at both ends. And frankly, I'm surprised they've lost 11 games on the road.
Yeah.
You know, I don't follow them day in, day out like we do the Spurs, but it's a good team. And when you start with a young superstar, my only hope is that he grows old there. You know, you're already hearing some signs that when his contract comes up, you know, maybe he'll look for greener pastures. And, you know, just like Durant left Oklahoma City, I'm a big fan of small markets.
Mm-hmm.
I love Giannis in that market, and I hope he stays there. He's great for that franchise, and they've got a brilliant future if he grows old in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, the Bucks seemingly you know, are just pretty much running roughshod all over the NBA. You're talking about just the Bucks versus the Western Conference. They're 16-8, Jim. So they definitely, you know, they bring it. You know, it doesn't matter if it's an East team or a West team, they're going to bring it. And the numbers show that. You know, but when you look on the Spurs side of it, you know, all they can do is just hope and try to contain Giannis as best they can. Use up them six fouls if they got him, every player they can. You know, Pirtle, you know, just try to body him. But I need to see something out of DeMar DeRozan. I really, really do. You look at what happened in the recent win where Derek White just went crazy in that fourth, you know, and all kudos to him, and I get it. You know, he deserves a big pat on the back. But you look at that pivotal quarter where the Spurs are clinging on to a three-point lead. DeMar went 1-for-4 in that final frame. And I would have said, okay, fine. At least, you know, maybe he'll just do what he's really good at this season, which has been, you know, facilitating with the assists. But he still had 0 assists in the fourth quarter, 0 rebounds in the fourth quarter versus the Hawks. And he only finished with 2 points in that fourth quarter. He's been kind of erratic of late. And I thought he snapped out of it, Jim, but maybe not.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to come around to think that maybe he's not an end-of-the-game kind of guy. I think Pop is done a pretty good job of giving him the ball and let him win or lose games when
mm-hmm.
it comes time to crunch time. And, you know, we've seen enough examples where that hasn't boded well for the Spurs. So I'm starting to think, you know, maybe a plan B. And, you know, there's worse things than putting it in Derek White's hands.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I like the ball there. He makes good decisions. You know, if you're not going to go into Aldridge, you know, just dumping it to DeMar and clearing out, that hasn't always translated into, you know, the kind of outcome that the Spurs want. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think it's the tendency is to overreact to what you've seen lately. But we've got enough games in now where we can start coming to some conclusions. And
mm-hmm.
I still think DeRozan is more effective shooting that jump shot when he gets it off a pass rather than taking it off the dribble, especially late in the game. So, you know, you might see some different scenarios here. You know, I like the ball in Rudy Gay's hand. He shoots with confidence.
Yeah.
If Patty Mills is having a good run, you know, he's a good guy to take if you need a three late. And he sometimes is on the court at the end of games. Davis Bertans. I mean, there's lots of options.
Mm-hmm.
Go down to Aldridge. You know, if he gets a foul, he's automatic from the foul line, and he's usually going to hit that jump shot. So they've got a lot of options. I think it's a point in the season, though, where they got to figure out what their best option is at the end of a game when it comes down to winning and losing. And,
right.
again, I'm not so sure that it's DeRozan right now.
I know. I just recall, you know, his very first few weeks as a Spur, maybe a month in, you know, he was posting 30-plus points almost nightly, and then that just really faded away fast. And now we're here where we're seeing him struggle late in games, struggle from beginning of the games, you know, turning the ball over. I'm of the opinion that maybe that injury that he suffered, maybe he's not letting on the full magnitude of it. Maybe it really is bothering him too much, but he's just trying to be a trooper and just fight through it.
Yep.
Hopefully it's something as simple as that, and it'll be revealed like when the season's over, you know, some interview that he does and he admits that, yeah, you know, I had a X and Y injury and that really held me back. But, you know, I really need to see him come strong because the Spurs are clinging on to the seventh seed right now, I believe. And you got the Clippers hot on their heels. And I thought the Clippers would nosedive after the trade with Tobias Harris, but they haven't. They rallied. They're making noise in the bottom portion of the Western Conference, Jim.
Well, and that's what's funny is you watch the scoreboard and, you know, the other night everybody was happy that, you know, the Spurs beat Denver. Well, that might
yeah.
work against them because if the Spurs do finish eighth, I think you'd want Denver to finish first. And
yeah.
there's a pretty good dogfight going on. Golden State's only a game up on the Nuggets right now. You know, the Warriors haven't been the consistent, you know, team that they've been in years past. So, you know, the danger is you try to, you know, look at that and you can only control what you do. I still think it's more important to keep that gap between 8 and 9 than it is, you know, the folks that are battling. You know, right now Utah's in 6th, the game ahead of the Spurs. So if you want to look up, that's the team to kind of chase. You want to look down, yeah, they're tied. The Spurs and Clippers are tied right now for that 7th and 8th spot. And again, they've got a, right now, a 4-game gap on the Kings. So the most important thing is to get in the playoffs. And you really can't overthink it. You know, as much as we want to think that they want to avoid the Warriors, what if the Warriors suffer an injury late in the season? Or what if they just don't find their mojo this year?
Yeah.
Denver's been a tough team and a tough matchup for the Spurs, but, you know, the Spurs got them last week. So, you know, you just go back and forth. But it really does look like, you know, Golden State and Denver are going to be 1-2. You know, there's a big gap between them and Oklahoma City, Houston, and Portland are fighting for 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
And if the Spurs are going to be locked into that 7th or 8th spot, then that's one of the two teams they're going to play, either Golden State or Denver. So we'll see how that shakes out. But, you know, it's still a little early to be scoreboard watching.
Yeah, but one thing the Spurs need to be watching is their wins and losses, because it's getting to crunch time now. There's only just a handful of games left in the regular season. Every loss counts. Every win counts. Every cliche you can think of, you know, it pretty much applies to the Spurs. They have to win in order to stay alive. And so far, so good. 4-game winning streak heading into the contest Sunday versus the Bucks. So Jim and I are going to take our final break. We get back, we're going to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. We are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko, News 4 San Antonio. Jim, you are one hardworking man over there.
Well, you know, got a day job, and they keep me busy here at the News 4, but it's fun. Every day is a different adventure, and following the Spurs is kind of the cherry on top of the cake. You know, it's a fun thing to talk about and follow, and this has been an interesting season. I've enjoyed chatting with you about it, and we got a couple more interesting months to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing we didn't talk about when we're looking ahead at Sunday's game is the return of Pau Gasol. And, you know, I had a fun question I asked of Spurs fans on social media today was, will the fans give him a standing ovation, of a loud applause, or maybe a golfer's clap, you know, on the sideline? How do you think the reception is going to be for Pau?
That's a good question. I guess the first question is, will he play?
Yeah.
You know, he's only played in a couple of games for them, averaging about 8 minutes, hadn't scored much. You know, it's going to take a couple of weeks for him to find his role. You know, I hope he gets on the court, and I hope he gets a nice reception. He did nothing to engender the animosity of the fans. And I think your instincts are probably pretty good. It'll be muted. you know, he wasn't here all that long, and you know, he wasn't part of a title team. So, yeah, he had a nice, you know, couple of years here. They didn't end great, and he's found a new home in Milwaukee, and I hope it works out for him, and I hope fans appreciate the whole career that Gasol has been able to produce.
Yeah, I'm expecting a nice hearty applause. I think Spurs fans are not going to be standing up and giving them some 5-minute long ovation, but I think it'll be a nice warm reception. I wonder if the Spurs are going to do any type of video for him. Do you think they will?
My guess would be no.
Yeah.
It surprised me before, but again, the whole body of work is not here long enough, and, you know, no rings. So, you know, I think they'll save that for a few of the other people that come back.
It's funny. I think either a Spurs fan must be, you know, using their ESP telepathy powers right now, because somebody on social media just tweeted at me regarding this topic. And Rich Benavides, he says he's expecting a golf clap. For Pau Gasol. But it's interesting to see, you know, how the fans will react to Pau's name when he checks into the game or in pregame. I agree with you. I think they should give him a nice applause for what he did, the professionalism he had during his time with San Antonio. But
you know, there's another former Spur on that team that deserves a pretty big ovation. He's kind of under the radar a little bit, but George Hill, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, and then Coach Bud as well.
Coach Bud, yeah, the opposing coaches don't usually get too much attention, but yeah, I mean, you know, you don't have to work real hard to find former Spurs on most rosters. So.
No,
but, you know, George has had an interesting career, and he's, you know, traveled several places since he left San Antonio, but still a nice contributor.
He still makes San Antonio his home.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a good guy, and I crossed paths with him in Indianapolis, where he's originally from. And you know, he's a role player now as he's gotten a little bit older in his career, but hey, might be a chance for him to end up in the NBA Finals this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hope it happens for him, you know. I mean, Pau, you know, just good luck. I mean, that Bucks team, you know, I got a lot of respect for them. You know, they play it straight. You know, they're not like other NBA teams. Golden State, sorry, Jim. but no, it's a fun Bucks team, and I'm expecting a fun game Sunday night at the AT&T Center. So, Jim, you want to tell the listeners how to get a hold of you?
It's the same place. It's been all year on Twitter, at Jim Lefko. Happy to interact with anybody that wants to weigh in on the whole Duncan LeBron debate or anything else that tickles their fancy.
Yeah. Oh, you know, before I let you go, you heard about the kid from San Antonio, a guy, not a kid, he's obviously, you know, not a kid, but young adult. He made it into the NBA 2K League.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
I seem to read about a certain somebody who has a fascination with that league who got to cover the draft.
That's me.
That would be you.
Yeah. But
that's
no.
Cool. It'd be neat if San Antonio Spurs ever, you know, decide that they want to participate in that league and be a great outlet for people that are, you know, into gaming. So hopefully that's on the horizon.
I like what you mentioned on social media about that when you said this is a perfect way for the Spurs to connect with a younger fan base. And I think you hit it on the head right there.
Well, I mean, that's who the demographic is. And, you know, you go to the games and you see a mix of old and young. But I think at the e-games arena, and I've not been to one, I'm guessing that the crowd skews a lot younger. And in this day and age, it's always smart business to cultivate that next generation of fans.
Yeah. And speaking of e-gaming arenas, you wrote an article for News for San Antonio about that, that San Antonio is developing one.
Yeah, Port San Antonio is going to have a venue that seats about, I believe, 1,500 people.
Wow.
So that's probably about a year or so away, but what a great place to host that kind of competition. And it's a neat facility down there. And, again, when that franchise comes to San Antonio, maybe they'll call that home.
Yeah, hopefully they will. But you heard from Jim how to get a hold of him, how you can get a hold of me. Follow me on Twitter, at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. We both would love to talk to you about your San Antonio Spurs. How do you think? What do you feel? Do you think they're going to make the postseason or not? Are you still thinking, oh, well, maybe Camp Tank? You know, let us know. We want to hear from you. So please contact us. Follow us on Twitter, and we'll be more than happy to chat with you about the silver and black. But for Jim Lefko, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.